In our discussion of the Gospel of John, we find ourselves at the 18th chapter. This course is bringing us very close to the end of this Gospel and very close to the end of the time as we see Jesus is approaching the time to be crucified. Up to this point, or shortly before this point of this chapter, he has met with his disciples, his apostles, in an upper room. He has shared with them the Passover. He has demonstrated to them what his followers will do to remember him, to remember his death, his suffering, his sacrifice, as we do each and every Lord's Day with the communion. He as well washes the disciples' feet to show them that you must be humble and you must be servants to others in order to be the person that God wants us to be. He has told them that the time is fastly approaching in which he will be delivered unto men and he will be put to death. And of course, as we said, beginning back in chapter 13, this has saddened these men very much. And so Jesus begins to comfort them in chapters 14, 15, 16. In chapter 17, he then prays for these disciples, these apostles that he has selected out of the world to follow him and to bring this message to the world. And he not only prays for them, but for all who would follow after. Tonight in the 18th chapter, we're going to do something a little bit different. Instead of stopping and pausing and talking about the verses and the things which are said, we want to read the entire chapter. And then we will go back and we'll go over some of the things that we see that happen. I know that this chapter is pretty self-explanatory. It's a historical account of the things that Jesus suffers the night in which he is betrayed. So beginning in verse 1, when Jesus has spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook of Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, come thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which spake of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captains and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first. For he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. They themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore, that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. What I'd like to do is talk now about this event, this particular chapter, and the things that transpires through it, and looking at the four Gospels. And I hope I don't leave anything out. But in order to understand everything and to see everything that takes place in this event of time, you must read all four of the Gospels. It's important because each one gives some different perspective. They all agree with one another, but some of them added some things that they thought were important. John here omits some things, perhaps, that he didn't think was so important. But inspired by the Word of God, as all four of these men were, all four of these Gospels we need to know and understand. Now, John's Gospel is a Gospel that is presented to us of the divineness of Jesus Christ. And it's presented to us in a chronological order of events that happened throughout his ministry. As he has finished, as we said, what we call the Last Supper, or he has communed with his disciples, he goes out to a place in which he normally would go to pray. And this place is across a brook known as Kedron. And there's a garden. And what better place is there for solace and a place to go and a place to reflect? And the Bible says that Jesus oftentimes went there and that Judas knew it. It was during the time of the taking of the Passover in which Judas, of course, Jesus said that one among them would betray him. And Judas, of course, had left. And some of the men thinking that Judas had to go and get something for Jesus or something for the feast. So Judas wasn't well known to be the one that would betray Jesus. I'm sure it surprised the others when Judas shows up to betray Jesus. But Jesus goes to this garden to pray, according to what John is telling us here. Now we know from the other accounts that Jesus tells Peter, James, and John, you come with me. And we know that Peter, James, and John are the three disciples that go with Jesus on several occasions. One in particular is into the mountain which Jesus is transfigured before them. So these three men seem to be the three that Jesus, perhaps we might say, is closest to, but they are three that go with him in special events. He tells them to wait here a little while. He's going to go yonder and he's going to pray. When Jesus goes over there and he prays, the Bible tells us that his sweat became as great drops of blood. It was so intense, his prayer, because Jesus knows what he's about to endure. He knows all the things that's going to happen to him. He knows he has to be crucified. He has to die in this manner, in this place, at this time. Why, if you look back through the scriptures, you see many times they tried to take Jesus. When he was at Nazareth, they tried to throw him off a cliff. He disappeared among them. Other times they wanted to take up stones and cast at him, but he disappeared within the crowd. There were other times that they would have taken him, but they were afraid because the crowds were for him. And so they were looking for an opportunity now. But of course they didn't realize that all this played right into the timeline that was predicted in the Old Testament, especially in the 9th chapter of Daniel, when he talks about the last week, where Jesus is going to be crucified in the middle of that week and cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. Also, it was going to happen at the same time that the Passover was occurring, because Jesus is our Passover to sacrifice for us. There's no way that any of this is coincidental. This has all been laid out and all been planned by God since before the world began. Man couldn't change that plan. Man couldn't change that timeline. It was all destined to be just the way we see it happening. So as Jesus goes and he prays, he asks the Father that this cup pass from me, but not my will, as your will be done, which is exactly our prayers should be that way today. We pray for things, but we don't know all the time if it's God's will. We ask God, please, that in our prayers, that whatever we ask for, that God, your will be done. Jesus is visited by angels in the garden there where he's praying to comfort him, to strengthen him, to endure what he's about to go through. He comes back to his disciples. He finds them asleep. He asks them, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He goes back now and he prays again. Same prayer. He knows to the Father all things are possible. So if it's possible, may this cup pass from me. He comes back, he finds his disciples, Peter, James, and John, asleep again. Again, could they not watch with him? So he goes off a third time and prays the same thing. And when he comes back this time, he says, it's time now. You don't have to worry about staying awake and watching. The crowd is approaching, and Jesus knows it. He sees them. He knows they're coming before they even knew they were coming. He sees them coming with their torches, their swords, their spears, their all the weapons that they had to come and take this man that had done absolutely no violence, none whatsoever. Again, they're coming at night because they don't want anybody else to know what they're doing. They don't want the crowds to surround Jesus to protect him, or to be against them. So they've chosen the time to come, which is at night. They come then to the garden, and Jesus goes to them, and he asks them the question, who do you seek? They said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. When he said this, the Bible tells us they all fell backwards to the ground. I don't know what they would have thought. That would have been rather something to think about, something that would have been very puzzling to you, that you're standing there, this has never happened to you before, but some force knocks you to the ground. Only because this man said these three words, I am he. What's being shown to them here is that they'd have no power against Jesus unless it was given to them. Unless he agreed to go with them, they could not take him. It was the last thing that Jesus showed and his power to these men. That you think you're here to take me, well, you can't take me unless I let you. Well, Peter, who is there with them, and all the disciples who were there at this time, and of course, Judas is with the crowd that comes to take him. Now, Judas has already told them, he says, the man that I kiss, you latch hold of him, he's the one. To betray someone with a kiss. But that's what Judas does. He comes there, he sees Jesus. Now, why did they need Judas to do this? Obviously, many of them had seen Jesus. They know who he was. But here it is, it's dark, it's night. They want to be sure of who it is that they're taking. They want to be sure that they get this Jesus. And of course, Judas has already conspired with them and said that I'll do this for the 30 pieces of silver that they were going to give him. So Judas comes up to Jesus, and he places a kiss upon him. Jesus asks him, friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? But that's what he did. And as soon as he kissed Jesus, they latched hold of him. Now Peter is still thinking that this kingdom is earthly, that we're going to fight. Jesus is going to lead us to victory, pulls a sword out. Because he's asked Jesus already that they have two swords if it's enough, and Jesus has told him it would be. So Peter takes his sword and he swings it at the servant of the high priest, whose name Malchus. And the Bible says he hits him and cuts off his right ear. Well, Jesus tells Peter, put your sword up to its place, Peter. Is not the cup that my Father gave me to drink? Should I not drink it? And he tells Peter, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. So Peter now realizes it's futile to fight. Jesus reaches down, he takes the ear off the ground, he goes to the servant, he puts it upon his back in its place, and he heals him wholly. And I've often wondered what that servant thought of that. Often wondered, did it have an impact on his life after that? Now here's this man, we're taken and we're going to crucify him. We want to put him to death. And yet, he's done this very good deed to me. I often think that it had to have some impact on his life. Just like Simon of Cyrene, who carries the cross of Christ, we read that his sons became Christians, and no doubt, I'm sure Simon himself did as well. So now they take Jesus and they bind him. Nonviolent man. Man who's only done good. A man who just did something good. And restoring this servant's ear, they bind him. Now they take him from the garden to Annas. Now Annas was at one time a high priest. Now what we understand is that at this point in history, because the Jews were under domination by Rome, that the Romans picked, actually it became a political position, but they picked the high priest. And they picked who would be the king, such as Herod. And Annas was an individual who perhaps 10, 15 years earlier was a high priest and was still looked upon in a way as still being high priest, even though he did not do the officiating any longer. But because he held the position and because in the Old Testament, of course, it was of the lineage of Aaron, a high priest had to die for the next high priest to be appointed. And none of that was transpired because Annas is still alive. But they take him there. There at Annas, of course, is when the brutality starts. He's there and he's being judged by these men. But as they bring out witnesses, nobody can agree one with another. People would come out and say, this man said this or this man did this. But nobody else could agree. So they had absolutely no right, no legal right under their own law to do anything to Jesus. But yet they were so bent on envy and hatred, they were wanting to put him to death. So when Annas finishes with him, and after he has been somewhat beaten at this point, they have begun to become violent with Jesus and smack him across the face for times in which he would be asked questions and he would answer. They take him from the house of Annas and they take him to Caiaphas. Now, Caiaphas is the one in which is the high priest at this time. He's the officiating high priest. Now, Peter has followed them and so has John. The other disciples, the Bible tells us, have fled. John is well known amongst the group. He's a very tender person. He's the one, you remember, that lays his head upon Jesus' chest at the supper that they had. He's so humble, he doesn't even mention his name when he writes in this letter. He just calls himself the other disciple. How humble. He doesn't give himself any of the fame that might go with that. Very gentle person. A person that Jesus thought enough of that he had him take care of his mother. Well, John is known by the high priest, the servants, the people of the house, so he follows to the house of Caiaphas. Now there's an outside court, and Peter stands out there. There's a fire, and people are warming themselves. It's cold. So John is allowed to go on in. Well, after he's in, he comes back out to get Peter. Peter, you can come in too. So he gets Peter and he brings Peter in. And again, Peter is standing by a fire. The girl who is at the door says, "You're one of these men that's with this man they brought in to try." Peter says, "I don't know him." So they go in. And now Jesus is being questioned by Caiaphas. And they are putting a hood over his head. And they are smiting him, and they're saying, "Prophesy, who hit you? If you know all these things, and you're this prophet, or you are indeed the Son of God, then prophesy to us." And I'm sure, in a way, this made them feel secure to themselves, knowing that they probably felt if he indeed was, or is, the Son of God, they couldn't do this to him. But yet they don't realize they're fulfilling God's plan. So once again, another person sees Peter. "Peter, you are one of them. Your speech," because he's from Galilee, and the accent he had, "betrayeth you." "No, I don't know the man. I'm not one of them." Well, we know a third time this was asked. This happens at the house of Caiaphas. In the book of Mark, we're told that Jesus says there, that he says, "Peter, tonight before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me thrice." And I believe it was after the first denial that the cock crew. And then when Peter finally says the third time, "I know not the man," the cock crew again. And when he did, the Bible says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter. He knew all along where Peter was. He knew exactly where everybody was. And Jesus, at that point, with everything going on, with all the brutality against him, turns and his eyes meet the eyes of Peter. The Bible says Peter goes out and he wept bitterly. But why? Because Peter had said at the time they were taking the Passover, "Though all the rest of these may betray you, or though all the rest of these may flee, I'll never leave you, even if it means my death." So Peter, you see, was boisterous. "My faith is so strong in you, Lord, that I'm going to be with you even to death." Jesus says, "Peter, Satan has desired to have thee to sift thee like wheat, but I'll pray that your faith fail you not. But tonight before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times." Peter just couldn't believe he would do such a thing. But after that third denial, Jesus turns and looks at him. I can't imagine what Peter felt, that he realized he wasn't as strong as he thought he was. His faith had been tested. He didn't pass the test. He goes out and he just breaks down. So at the house of Caiaphas, Jesus is once again being interrogated. "Won't you just come on out and tell us who you are?" Jesus tells him, "I'm he. And you're going to see me sitting on the right hand of the throne. Do we need any more? Any more than this? This man has blasphemed. He has made himself the Son of God. Under our law, he can be put to death for this blasphemy. So they take Jesus now, and they take him from Caiaphas, and they go to Pilate. Again, it's still very early in the morning. From what I have read, there are several times during the night that the rooster will actually crow. They many times crow right at midnight, at 3 a.m, and then, of course, at daylight. Well, before the cock crew twice that night, which I would assume would be midnight, 3 a.m, then Peter denied him. It was already by 3 a.m. So they take him to Pilate, but they won't go into the hall because they don't want to be defiled. They want to be able to partake of the Passover on the following day. But they bring Jesus with them. They say that he is a malefactor. Why, he's a no good. He needs to be put to death. Pilate says, well, why? Well, he made himself to be the Son of God. Pilate says, well, you go and judge him under your law. Well, under our law, we can't put him to death. The Romans had taken that ability away from them. They couldn't put Jesus to death. It had to be the Romans that would put him to death. So they say, well, we can't put him to death. You're not allowing us, so we want you to. Well, when he heard then that Jesus fell under the jurisdiction of Herod, then Pilate said, all right, he says, you take him over to Herod. So that's what they do. They leave Pilate and they go over to Herod. Now, Herod being the king of the Jews at that time, or being the governor, we will say at that time, he's desiring to see Jesus because he wants to see a miracle performed. He's heard about Jesus, but he's not ever been in the presence to see all these things that he's been told about Jesus. So he wants Jesus to perform a miracle. But Jesus won't even say a word to Herod, nor does he do anything else. So Herod's soldiers mock him, and they take a beautiful robe and they put it upon him, and then they take him back to Pilate. From that point on, the Bible tells us Pilate and Herod became friends. Before that, they didn't think much of each other and weren't too happy with each other. But by Herod sending him back to Pilate, he's saying, I don't find any fault in this guy. Nothing to be put to death. Well, Pilate couldn't find it either, as we know. So, as they take him back to Pilate, he now stands in the judgment hall before Pilate. And Pilate asks him, are you the king of the Jews? And of course, this is going to be the reason that the mob is going to get the Romans to crucify Jesus. Because they're going to put Pilate on the spot. They're going to tell Pilate, we have no king but Caesar. If you don't do away with this man, you're not a friend of Caesar. And that's really the thing they had on Pilate that's going to cause Pilate to turn Jesus over to be crucified. But at this point, Pilate's talking with him. We know that he's asking these questions, and Jesus says, well, did somebody tell you that I was the king of the Jews? So Pilate asks him, well, you tell me about yourself. And Pilate marvels because Jesus really isn't answering anything. And Jesus tells him here, that my kingdom is not of this world. You don't got any threat from me, Pilate. Caesar has no threat from me, because the kingdom that I have, it isn't even of this world. Now, I'm sure that this really was something that perplexed Pilate. How can you have a kingdom and it's not of this world? Jesus says, if my kingdom was of this world, my servants would fight, the Jews would fight. Or my servants would fight that I not be delivered to the Jews, but my kingdom's not from here. So Pilate asked him if he was a king. Jesus goes on to tell him. He says, you say that I'm a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate asks a question here that I'm sure that a lot of people in the world ask themselves a lot. What is truth? You know, Pilate lives in a paganistic world. He lives in a world where this God over here by these people, this God over here for these people, these idols are all over the place. He lives in a world where people deceive, where people, he sees the worst of men, and he sees it now. This mob, this high priest, who is the lead, the spiritual leader of these people, is bringing before him an innocent man to be crucified. Pilate knows all this. He sees it. He sees what mankind is like. So he asked Jesus a question. What is truth? Only Jesus had the answer to what truth is, but it's not something that Pilate could understand. He goes out to the Jews. He says, I find no fault in him. Well, this doesn't suffice them. But he gives them this option. You guys have a custom. Because it's a festival day, I can release unto you one who is condemned to die. So, he asks him, should I release unto you the King of the Jews? It's interesting that Pilate refers to him as King of the Jews. He's even going to write a paper, we know, and put it on the cross of Jesus that says that. We'll get into that, Lord willing, later. But then the crowd cries again, we don't want this man released. We want Barabbas released. Now, Barabbas, the Bible here says, was a robber. We know he was an insurrector, and we know by other scriptures that he was also a murderer. The worst of men. And as Brother Elton preached on a few weeks ago, we don't got to go into a lot of detail about the man, but he was the worst of men. A man who murdered, a man who rebelled, a man who stole. And yet, here's the best man that ever lived, the Son of God. And they're asking that this murderer, insurrector, and robber be released. And this good man take his place. And that's really the story of Jesus. He takes the place of everyone. He goes to the cross. He bears the burden of sin so that we don't have to. That concludes the 18th chapter in the book of John. I hope I didn't leave too much out. I know there's a lot there in the four Gospels, and there's a lot of events that go on and bring us up to this point in time. And it's great to go and to read it and to get the full story into our mind of everything that Jesus went through. We know that the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah and in the book of the Psalms, many of the things that Jesus suffered. The book of Isaiah says they pulled the beard from his face. Well, I would assume that that did happen at the house of Caiaphas is where that took place, not with the Roman soldiers at Pilate's hall, but over at the house of Caiaphas. He was beaten with the open palm of the hand. He was punched with the clenched fist. They said that the high priest rent his clothes when Jesus answered him about if he was the Son of God. Now, to rent their clothes was an act of total hatred, total anger. To take your clothes and their custom and their time and to rip it was the ultimate showing of hatred and anger towards an event or a person. And the high priest did such that. They gnashed on him with their teeth. Their teeth were clenched together, in other words. Their hatred for him was to the point it was worked up into what we'd call a lather of this just and good man. There be one this evening, won't you come? Always stand and sing.